listening to the Sunday podcast brought to you by lifeteen.com, a reflection on the upcoming Sunday Catholic Mass readings. And now your host, the Bible Geek, Mark Hart.
Well, greetings this week once again, my family. It's great to be with you. This week we're taking a look at the 26th Sunday in Ordinary Time, our first reading from famous Amos, Amos chapter 6, verse 1, then verses 4 through 7. Our psalm response from Psalm 146, verses 7 through 10. Praise the Lord, my soul. The second reading from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 through 16, and our gospel from St. Luke, once again, chapter 16, this time from verses 19 through 31. You know, prideful people are a lot like paper towels. They can become so self-absorbed that when spills happen, when storms come, they're completely useless. And that might sound harsh, that might sound bad, but I got to thinking about it while cleaning up a spill last week, is that, you know, once a paper towel gets completely absorbed and saturated with water, with itself, it can't really perform any other function. So you're not going to use it to go mop up a huge flood. And I say this week because I think this can happen to all of us. No matter how holy we're trying to be, no matter how much we're striving to live like Jesus Christ, things happen in our life. Accidents happen, spills happen, storms come. And it's really easy in those times to become self-absorbed. Likewise, when there's no storms, when it's really sunny out and things are going really well, it's easy and dangerous for the Christian to stop praying, or to stop praying as much, or to stop praying with urgency. And that's where we become slothful. Now, sloth is one of the seven deadly sins, and it's not to be confused with being physically lazy. You know, sloth is not just about, I'm going to sit on the couch all day and play, you know, my Xbox and not go out and serve the poor. That's not just what sloth is. Sloth is spiritual laziness. It's a failure to pray. It's an unwillingness to pray. It's a laziness in prayer, doing the bare minimum, but not really entering in. And that is as great a danger for the modern Christian as any other, because prayer has to be our oxygen. And if we stop praying, we stop breathing. Our first reading from Amos, there's a warning being given. He says, "Woe to the complacent in Zion, lying on their beds of ivory, stretched comfortably on their couches, eating lambs taken from the flock. They devise their own accompaniment to the music of the harp. They drink wine from bowls. They anoint themselves. And therefore, now they shall be the first to go into exile." This is really important, you see, because what happens is when we get slothful, we separate ourselves from God. When we stop praying, when we become spiritually lazy, we are the ones separating ourselves. And then when God, for our own good, you know, allows something to happen that's going to call us back to Him, we blame God. And we say, oh, how can you let this happen? How can you do this? And a lot of times it's God's mercy. He's allowing things to happen in our lives sometimes that will cause us, force us, invite us to run back to Him, to throw ourselves into His arms again, to go seek Him. In the second reading, Paul is talking to Timothy. He says, "You, man of God, pursue righteousness and devotion and faith and love and patience and gentleness. Compete well for the faith. Lay hold of eternal life." It's like this great pep talk. But what's important about this is he's saying, don't just rest on your laurels. Don't sit back. Go be aggressive. Go be proactive in your faith. Don't just get complacent. Don't sit there and say, look at how far I've come. Look at how much holier I am than other people. Look, I'm a leader and they're following. That leaders especially cannot grow complacent. You constantly have to be pacing yourself off of holy people, pacing yourself off of the Lord, following and pursuing the Holy Spirit, so that your faith cannot just be reactive, waiting for something to happen, or reactive, waiting for someone to challenge you, that you can be proactive in your faith, and we're all called to be. In this gospel, this is a fairly famous story. It's a story about a rich man and a poor man in a reversal of fortunes. The rich man, he was constantly dressed in fine clothes. He ate sumptuously each day, it says in the gospel. I mean, basically, he was being gluttonous. He was eating of the finest foods and eating as much as he wanted every day. And lying at his door was a poor man named Lazarus, covered in sores. He would have gladly eaten the scraps that fell from the rich man's table. And all of a sudden, now the two are going to die. And the rich man is going to be carried off to a place of Hades, a place of torment. And the poor man carried off to be with Abraham until the time of judgment. And this is so interesting, this story, because when you hear it, now you have the rich man and he's crying out and he's in torment. He's saying, please send Lazarus to warn my family. Please don't allow them to go through the same thing. And here you had a rich man on earth and he walked by a poor man every day, but did nothing about it. As he sat and ate sumptuous food daily, He did nothing for the poor man that he, you know, whose path he crossed. And it wasn't as though he deserved that. You know, it's not as though the rich people are loved by God more than the poor people. But sometimes when we're given great blessings, we almost have a sense of entitlement. We almost believe that we deserve all the blessings we've been given. And it's amazing then how people can act so surprised. Lord, how could you let this happen to me or this happen to me when they've already been so blessed? What we have to remember and we have to understand is that very rarely does our spiritual ruin come to us very quickly. It's often a very slow and a steady path of selfishness that leads us to emptiness. And that's why prayer and sacrifice and service and justice, that's how that those beautiful things keep us on the right path. And it was amazing, you know, God reminds the rich man. He says, you received what was good during your lifetime. Lazarus didn't, but now he's comforted here where you're tormented. And he's not going to go send warning to his brothers because God has given us ample warning in the scriptures. God has warned us time and time again, year after year, century after century. He's warned us that with sin and with selfishness comes a penalty. It comes a consequence. We shouldn't act surprised when we come face to face with that consequence. God doesn't need to warn you anymore. He doesn't need to warn me anymore. He's saying, I'm giving you everything you need to live in grace. I've told you what's right, and I've even given you the sacrament of reconciliation for when you do what's wrong. We separate ourselves, my brothers and my sisters. We are the ones that grow in selfishness. We are the ones that grow in laziness. And what God is constantly proactively doing is giving us every opportunity to grow in righteousness, to grow in holiness, to reconcile our sin. There is no need for us to be in a place of torment. There is no need for us to grow slothful. Christ gives us the way, the Spirit gives us the power, and the church gives us the means. You and I, my brothers and my sisters, need only respond to Christ's mercy. May God bless you this week.
This podcast is brought to you by your friends at lifeteen.com.